League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brano.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
That was a little high pitched today.
Yeah, a little
bit.
Did
you feel it?
Yeah,
did you
it go up a little bit? Yeah.
Did you mean to do that? Or yeah. Okay.
It's a little energetic. I'm looking at the ocean, or as Paul called it, the Gulf of America.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
It does depend on who you ask.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, I like the little high pitch. Showing the vocal range.
A little excitement in it, yeah.
The vocal range. We are at Landry Seafood Company here in right here on the strip. Like you mentioned, you can see the Gulf. Brian thinks that's a lake. Brian thinks that there's lakes
yes,
that are
does.
Bigger than that. But no, a good time. Come on out if you're in the area. We'd love to see you. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about hand injuries, I'm sure. We'll talk about the Astros who I guess we'll let you know. They're currently playing. We'll have thoughts about the Astros game 3, whenever that concludes. Lots to get to when it comes to that front. We'll get to some football stuff as well. Bad Take Boulevard, it is a Thursday, but it's a July 3rd. It's what does Granado call these? He calls these holiday shows or whatever?
Yeah, vacation. Yeah.
Vacation shows? This is a vacation show.
This is like for once we can just take something from Paul Gallant's repertoire and just say, this is just an Ask Us Anything Thursday leading into a holiday.
Yeah, we'll do whatever you want. It's a Thursday. It's a three-day weekend whenever we get off work. We're coasting. We're melanin in.
Give you the weather report as we see the front come in over the water, what you guys might be expecting weather-wise for your fireworks this weekend.
I did drive through some rain on the way here,
too.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Some pretty good rain. I don't know which way it was going, and I'm not a weatherman. We're not on Twitch today either because, once we go to nice establishments like the Landry Seafood House, usually they have a firewall up that you can't be on Twitch because they know what a toxic place that is. So we can't get on Twitch today. We're blocked from that. So just on YouTube. Of course, you can always reach us, 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, call, text, whatever you got to do. We'll get into the Yordan news in a minute.
Okay.
Now, there is Yordan news. We'll get into that in a minute. Inflammation, I guess it's good. We'll discuss in a little while. Let's start with the second game of the series yesterday, though. The Astros in the Rockies in Coors. We always start with the starter, Hunter Brown. Another solid start when you look at the line score. Was named today, in fact, the AL Pitcher of the Month. What'd you see from the old Diesel last night?
I mean, it's kind of what we talked about before the game even started, that he probably, and most pitchers have to, I think almost all pitchers have to deal with the fact that your repertoire is limited and you have to make adjustments because of the fact that you're just not going to get the same kind of spin and bite on your breaking pitches. What do you call that?
The Magnus effect.
The Magnus effect.
Yeah, Hunter Brown was talking about the Magnus effect last night after the game, in fact. Like, he didn't mention the Magnus effect, but he was talking about the definition of the Magnus effect.
And you could tell because I think that, you know, he was really relying on the Diesel, the fastball, a lot more. Moniak caught one and was able to do what I was a little bit frightful of for his ERA sake for pitching in that park with the Magnus effect in the altitude. But overall, I mean, look, another good performance. A lot of pitches thrown. Give him credit for coming out in the sixth. I wasn't sure he was going to. I think probably they had win on their mind, too, and the fact that I know he wanted to get the win, but they got the lead for him. But aside from a lot of pitches thrown and having to adjust, I thought he was just Hunter Brown.
And it's kind of the thing that we talked about last time whenever they got an extra inning for Hunter Brown. Like, we found out that Abreu and Hader were not available. So I wonder if that played a factor into him getting that extra inning as well. I imagine it did.
I think it did.
I was surprised for him to come out in the sixth inning, too, because he kind of labored through that fifth. He had a runner at third, less than two outs. Yes, he was able to get out of it. But it's like, okay, this seems like a natural spot to take him out. There was a long half inning when you scored the runs because there was a pitcher's change there. I was surprised to see Hunter Brown pitch the sixth inning.
Yeah, he's, you know, when he ends up getting through the fifth and he's already over 90 pitches, you're like, well, he's either going to have one heck of an efficient inning, or you better have someone up and ready to go, because, you know, he ends up throwing more pitches than he's thrown all year by the time the inning is over. And he did get a couple of breaks by, you know, one or two pitch at bat to where that kind of helped him. But, yeah, I definitely was thinking that there was a less than 50% chance he was going back out there.
Yeah, he looked better in the sixth inning than in the fifth inning. It was kind of odd. I looked at all the like which pitches he threw, because I mean, we talked about the breaking stuff yesterday, the Magnus effect in Coors, it, in altitude, it diminishes the spin on your breaking stuff. Well, on all your pitches, but most significant on your breaking stuff. He threw 72 fastballs yesterday, 43 four-seamers, 16 sinker ballers, and 13 cuts. So he lived on his fastball. Yeah. He only threw 13 curveballs.
Even the strikeout that you're talking about with one out and a runner on third, it was just challenge ball. Just, I'm going to throw gas at the top of the zone and just hit it if you can. And he got out. There was a huge strikeout to allow him to set the table to get out of the inning. But, yeah, he was riding on the fastball all game.
Yeah, I was wondering what the approach was going to look like. And he just, here's my fastball. I dare you to hit it. And aside from Mickey Moniak, they did not hit it. It was kind of weird that Moniak homer. I noticed that it was a 94-mile-per-hour fastball. Like, they said four-seamer, too. Like, I wonder if that was
that had to be a mystery,
mistake.
Right? Yeah.
Because he doesn't throw his fastball 94. That had to have been a mistake.
I mean, like, you heard Blummer talking about the fact he gets ticked off because their radar says 100, and then he'll go, no, I haven't gotten there yet. It was 99 point.
Mm-hmm.
But he was 99-plus on several pitches last night.
Yeah, that was that had to have been a mistake. Because after he did that, I was like, huh, I'm going to watch this. And, I mean, he was right back up there to 98. He did throw one yesterday, the hardest he's ever thrown one in his life, 99.8. So he still hasn't gotten there. He may never.
I don't know that I need him to, because that scared me that he's going to, like, continue to rear back more and more until he could hurt himself trying to get just for that very reason. But you know what? He did what he had to do, and the fastball is what it is. It's one of the best fastballs in baseball when you talk about Skeens and Skubal and some of the guys that we have talked about when mentioning him in that elite circle of pitchers. And his fastball is his calling card, and boy, did it deliver last night.
Bullpen was fine. You ran into a little bit of bad luck there in the ninth inning. Sousa gave up a bunch of bloop hits, that was kind of weird. But, hey, you preserved a safe situation without your two leverage guys, which was highly encouraging. But you know what it also tells me? Don't use Hader and Abreu in four-run games. Like, if you can, if these guys – and I know it's the Rockies and they stink. But if you can trust these guys in two-run games, you can, or three-run games, you can trust – them in four-run games.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. It's one thing to say, look, the philosophy in that ballpark has to be that your comfort zone is you're going into that last inning or two with a two-run lead. Instead of, like, you know, you're trying to protect a one-run lead in any other park, basically, aside for the two minor league parks in Major League Baseball, and you feel pretty good about Abreu and Hader. But in that ballpark where anything can happen and any contact can turn into extra bases or a home run, two runs plus is what you would really like to have.
Oh, yeah.
And they had that in the first two games. And it provided necessary because Hader gave up one the night before. Sousa gave up, as you said, the one last night. But they still had enough to kind of coast. I mean, not coast, but get to the finish line.
Hunter Brown owes Jose Altuve a steak dinner for coming through in the clutch. Because whenever Hunter Brown – look, we thought he was leaving the game in the fifth. But even if he doesn't leave the game in the fifth, he leaves the game in the sixth.
Yep.
It was 2-2. Jose Altuve up, two outs. It's a two RBI single up the middle. Gives Hunter Brown a win, which Hunter Brown hasn't had a decision prior to last night in his previous four starts. He had no decisions in four straight. So Hunter Brown owes Jose Altuve a little bit of a steak dinner. And it was on the night that Jose Altuve breaks Jeff Bagwell's record, second most hits in Astro history. So two steak dinners coming up for Jose Altuve.
Yeah, and then we can talk about where Jose might owe someone else a steak dinner. But when you look at what happened, the last two starts in particular come to mind where Hunter Brown definitely deserved to get a W and pitched well enough to win.
Oh, yeah.
And got no decisions. So the fact that, you know, it kind of evens itself out a little bit last night and he ends up finding a run or two when he needed it after kind of getting through at five innings in Colorado was kind of like a little bit of a payback for a guy that has been a horse for you all season long.
713-780-ESPN, HR&P, listener line 713-780-3776. Mentioned Brown, Hader, honored AL pitcher, reliever of the month. Shea Whitcomb. How about Shea Whitcomb in a little elevation, hitting a 450-foot bomb? That was cool.
I didn't realize that was his first home run as an Astro. Because they had a couple of baseballs they had to track down last night, and I'm not sure if there's a story or anybody found out if they got either one of them, because I know that they had to go. They were trying to go get the ball that Whitcomb hit, mm-hmm. and then Altuve's record breaker that you mentioned. That they were talking about the fact that they were. You could see the whole dugout trying to get it. And the security guy basically blew him off and threw it to a fan.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they had to send someone up in the stands to try and get – and you know what? Altuve has always said he's not that kind of guy, those kind of things. But, I mean, that has to mean something. You know, inevitably he's going to chase Biggio for the most hits in franchise history. But to move to number two is pretty special.
No, he was – yeah, I think he knows that too. He said after the game that Bagwell texted him and, like, yep. he thanked him for all the support, which is good to treat the general manager that way. You have to treat general manager Jeff Bagwell with respect. I bet you they got that ball. The Shea Whitcomb one would have been hard because it was a home run.
But
I'm sure they still could have. But this one, at least you have eyes on it, you know?
Yeah, but they send, like, team security in, you know, in the stadium. We've seen it on ESPN games on Sunday Night Baseball where, you know, team personnel, even the – what was the one? There was one where the kid caught it at minute – when it was Minute Maid. He caught it. And he wanted a Verlander signed jersey. So they had to go get Verlander to sign a jersey so that they could get the baseball for whoever it was. But, yeah, definitely a couple of nice moments for the Astros on top of getting the win last night.
Well, Israel's already texting in. Killikam, 3 hits, 2 RBIs yesterday. He's on fire. Killikam's on fire. 3 for 5, 2 ribbies. AL Rookie of the Year. Let's start saying it. Let's start talking it into existence because the Houston Astros could really use the draft pick if Cam Smith is the Rookie of the Year. But no, he's on fire right now. It's really good to see where the kid is at because he's being called upon right now too. You don't have Yordan. Christian Walker hasn't been who we thought Christian Walker was going to be. Yiner Diaz swings at everything that a pitcher offers to him. He has evolved and has developed into one of the Astros' best hitters on July 3rd of his rookie year, and that's really not up for debate.
No, it's not. And when you look at it, from the standpoint of Israel was wrong on the NBA Finals prediction, you know, there's a lot that Israel could be wrong on. So I'm totally fine with Israel being the one that started this whole thing, a month ago, that Cam was going to be the AL Rookie of the Year. Because you want to see the kid succeed. And you didn't know when it was going to actually click. The light would go on. He'd feel comfortable. He started getting going. He got off to a slow start. But my goodness, in the last month or so, he has been on a heater. He continues to push up that average, the OPS. And like you said, I mean, at a time when this lineup needs a consistent bat that's capable of doing some things, he's been doing some things.
Can I give you a nuanced take on the whole PPI thing? The the prospect promotion incentive program?
Okay.
Where we know that if you're in that list of players that are in the PPI, that if they win Rookie of the Year, they give your team a draft pick. The player can only help the team one time, though. So, like, so let's say Cam Smith wins Rookie of the Year. He can't finish top three in MVP voting and give you a second pick. So you can only get one pick attached to the player. Like, Hunter Brown's the other way. Hunter Brown was not the Rookie of the Year, but if he finishes top three in Cy Young, he can still give you a draft pick because he was one of those players and he hasn't garnered you a draft pick yet.
Gotcha.
The problem that I have with the PPI is that it's human bias that's in play here on two fronts. One, to be a member of the PPI, you have to be on two of the three top 100 prospect lists. And I think it's MLB, Baseball America, and ESPN. I might be confusing that a little bit, but you get the gist here.
Yep.
I don't know the publications. I think I'm right there, but I might be wrong. So you have to be on two of those three. Okay, that's the first parameter for you to be in that pool of PPI players that can give your team a draft pick. The other bias here is, who votes on the Rookie of the Year? Who votes on Cy Young and MVP?
Media.
Yeah, baseball writers.
Yeah.
So, and what do we know about baseball writers? That they, look, I hate to be the paranoid guy, the here's another theory, the tinfoil cap, all of this, but Astro players don't get voted. Like, they don't. Like, look at the All-Star game. The Astros have the second-best record in the American League, and they have zero All-Star game starters. And they have guys that are deserving. And I know that's the fans and not the writers. But baseball writers also hold an agenda and have an axe to grind with the Astros. We also know about the East Coast bias. So I don't love the fact that the baseball writers are the ones who control the prospect promotion incentive program. I think it's a great idea in theory. I don't like the human element of it.
I'm with you 100% because you know me, I'm always the criteria guy. And part of the criteria guy is the politics that goes with who say so matters. And you're talking about, you went exactly where I was going to go. When you look at the All-Star team and say, well, the best record in the American League by two games is the Tigers. They have three guys. You look at the Yankees, they've got starters. You look at the Astros and you go, none, not one. I don't understand it. And as much as you might like Wilson and you like you like the fact that he's doing it at Oakland. Jeremy Peña, until he got hurt, was unbelievable and was completely deserving of being the starting shortstop. But record matters. And we always go back because that's kind of the caveat in the back of the criteria list is, what have you done to help your team? Because if you're a last-place team, but you're a first-place vote-getter kind of guy in balloting for anything, that if you want to talk about it and it's close, look at what your team is doing. And Oakland is doing nothing in the case of Jeremy Peña. The Astros are killing it, and they lead the league with guys on the injured list. They have more guys on the injured list than any team in baseball, and yet they have the second-best record in the American League, and you're not going to credit any of their players?
Yeah, I'm with you. And, look, I don't even care about the All-Star game. Like, whatever, that doesn't do anything for me. I don't care if an Astros starting in the All-Star game. Like, I really don't. But I want the picks. I want the picks, and I don't want those sleazeball baseball writers that buried the Astros without doing any real undercover work on anybody else to be voting on this stuff. I think it's a joke that those guys are. And I hadn't thought about it prior to, like, today, because today's like when I really started thinking, oh, this is how this is going to be rewarded. And I don't love that. And look, Hunter Brown's probably going to finish top three in American League Cy Young.
Yep.
If I had to bet money right now, Jacob Wilson probably wins the American League Rookie of the Year. I think Cam Smith's catching up quick. I think there's a case to be made for Cam Smith, and I'm pushing the narrative for Cam Smith to be the Rookie of the Year. I'm going to hold those writers. I'm going to hold their feet to the fire.
Here's the thing, Jeremy. It's a precursor to tell Astros fans, buckle up, because this is what you're going to deal with for the next couple of decades. And I mean that because in a couple of decades, when you start seeing Astros guys' names on ballots for the Hall of Fame, you ain't getting in the first ballot. Even if you're Jose Altuve, it's going to be close. He might. But other than that, these writers, don't forget, these writers don't like what happened, and these writers are going to use their clout whenever they can.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous that they're the ones that are voting on the Prospect Promotion Incentive Program. Nuanced take, I know it, but had to get that off my chest. 713-780-ESPN. We're in the broadcasting live from Landry Seafood Company, the seawall in Galveston, right on the strip. Right on the strip. Come on by. Say hello to us. Have some delicious seafood. Love seafood. Seafood is the very, very best. We'll get into a lot of stuff today. Bad Take Boulevard. We'll let you take us wherever you want to take us. I was wondering this, too. I saw your tweet yesterday. Altuve and base running go together like blank and blank. We'll discuss that a little bit later. Also, like, what all-time greats in sports history have had an Achilles heel like Jose Altuve does with base running? Like, what is out there that exists there as well? 713-780-3776. No Twitch today for us. All of you folks are going to run that bad boy wild. No Twitch for us. It's behind a firewall here. We can't get into it. We're on YouTube, though, at ESPN Houston. You can listen live on Twitter at ESPN 975. TikTok, too, at ESPN 975. You can find me there, Jeremy J. Branham. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Coming up next, the Astros got good news? Question mark on Yordan Alvarez's hand today. We'll discuss Killer Bees live from Landry Seafood Company in Galveston on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-3776. Live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston. Israel bragging about Killer Cam. No, that's fine. It's cool. We're with you on that. He also throws some shade towards you. Indiana's best player got hurt. Cheese emoji head. Grimace emoji.
Wrong emoji. You emoji. Chicago guy emoji.
What emojis are those?
Don't know, but he can figure it out when he has his spare time.
I would like to see what a Chicago emoji looks like. What would you put for Chicago emoji?
A big pile of you know what. And some wind.
It'd be the poop emoji?
Yeah, some wind and a poop emoji.
Is there a wind? There is a wind emoji, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of like the little dust thing. You could do a pizza.
You could do wind, like a skyscraper, and then just a poop emoji.
Okay.
That'd be fine.
The problem with the pizza emoji, though, is it looks like it's like standard. You know, it's not a deep dish.
Yeah.
So it'd be hard to really be symbolic with Chicago. Rackham Pete, what reply did Altuve send to Bagwell when Bagwell said congratulations? He say thanks for Jose Abreu or how's Dr. Brown's ex-wife doing? Why we got to drag Dr. Brown, who's no longer with us? Why do we got to do that? He's no longer with us, Dr. Brown.
Who got the – because besides him sending the text to Altuve, they said that someone got a hold of him while he was watching. I don't know if it was Blummer or if somebody else, and he said he was watching during the game and then wanted to make sure that he, you know, sent out his well wishes and how Altuve has been one of the best players in franchise history, and he knows he's chasing 3,000.
Israel says that's corny, Cheesehead.
It's okay. Well,
In regards to no Astros on the All-Star team and the wise words of Hank Conger, Bad Wardum, the Astros are going to have players on the All-Star team. They're just not going to have starters on the All-Star team.
Right.
They're probably going to be well-represented. Now, do they go? Probably not. I mean, Jose Altuve is not having an All-Star year, but like, do the other guys go? Like, Hunter Brown's going to be an All-Star. I think Fromber will be an All-Star. Hader will be an All-Star. I think Brian Abreu has a decent chance to be an All-Star.
Yep.
So those are four pitchers potentially. And then offensively, Pena will be named. Won't go. I hope not.
Paredes might.
He's probably on the bubble. Like, he's probably 50-50. Myers, no. Cam, no. Now, I do think that they're in the conversation, like if you have a lot of reserves, stuff like that, probably not. But I think if they were All-Stars, they would be worthy All-Stars, Myers and even Cam.
It was interesting. I was catching up on – they did an interview yesterday with Cam, and he's notated some of that stuff because he's like, I know the futures game, and I know that, you know, as you want to get to the futures game because it's during All-Star weekend. And he called out Bryce Matthews, and he was like, I think it's great for Bryce Matthews. And he was like almost saying it would be great to be there. It would have been cool. But he goes, hey, you know what? I got my calling, and I'm here, and I'm loving it. But, yeah, he talked about the fact that he was well aware of the futures game and everything that was going on, like it means something to him.
So here's the report that the Astros sent out today about Yordan Alvarez. There was a lot going on the internet earlier today,
there
too.
Was.
There was some dude that sent out a picture of his dad.
Guy?
I don't know. I DM'd him, though, asking like what cities this were. Because I actually got information yesterday on where Yordan Alvarez's specialist was.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'm supposed to say, so I'm not going to say. But I had information on where Yordan Alvarez's specialist was. I was also told that he was wearing a soft cast on his right hand yesterday. So when I saw the picture, I'm like, okay, this could be valid. So I asked the guy, both in DM and then like in his replies, I asked him what city is the flight. Like, what city is he taking off from? What city is he landing?
Okay.
Because I knew, but he never told me the city. So whenever he didn't tell me the city, I was like, okay, that's a red flag. And in fact, he said he thought it was Fort Lauderdale, and I know for a fact it was not Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
So that made me start to question the validity of that tweet. So I wasn't believing the tweet. But anyways, the Astros sent out a release today. Yordan and the Astros received some encouraging news. I don't love that. I don't love that right out of the gate. Because whenever you're sitting there, like, sending out that message with your opinion, it feels like you're trying to get everybody to believe your opinion. Like, just give me the black and white of the situation. Tell me, like, what you want to, like, what news you want to release. Don't lead me into encouraging news. Because now I feel like you're kind of trying to gaslight me.
Yep.
Like, I feel like you're trying to control the message. Like, it's like, I didn't like that part of it right away, where it's like, we received encouraging news. No, you shouldn't have an opinion. Just present the news, let everybody react the way that they want to react. Regardless, Yordan and the Astros received encouraging news from a hand specialist that examined Alvarez's sore right hand on Wednesday. As part of the examination, additional imaging was done on his hand, which revealed that the main cause of his current pain is due to inflammation. The specialist also indicated that at this point in the recovery process, the small fracture that had been sustained is now a non-factor in the discomfort that Alvarez is currently experiencing. As a result of the examination, Yordan received two injections in his hand on Wednesday and will refrain from any activity involving his hand in the coming days. This was not the first time that Alvarez had received injections in his hand while on the injured list. The specialist also reviewed the multiple sets of imaging that had been done previously on Alvarez's hand and concurred with the findings of the Astros medical staff and other hand specialists. The specialist also determined that the imaging done on Wednesday revealed that Alvarez's hand had made noticeable progress when compared to imaging done over the past several weeks. Prior to Wednesday's MRI, the most recent imaging on Alvarez's hand had indicated that the inflammation has been reduced. Alvarez began to ramp up his baseball activity last week and was able to take batting practice on the field Saturday with positive results. However, Tuesday morning, Yordan reported to the Astros medical staff that the pain in his hand had returned, which resulted in Wednesday's visit to the hand specialist. So is this good news? How do we peel back the layers to this? 713-780-3776. We'll discuss next. Killer Bees from Landry Seafood House in Galveston on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, so we read the release to the Astros, Jordan Alvarez, Killer Bees, Landry Seafood House in Galveston. Reading this, hearing this, the Astros want you to believe it's encouraging news. They tell you that in the first sentence, which kind of weird to me. But regardless, putting that aside, do you think this is encouraging news?
Yeah, I do for the rest of the season. I think that the bigger picture is going to be how do you solve it long term. I think the fact that if there's a break and or every time that he tried live batting practice that it might have been a setback, that at least in this case – it hasn't re-altered the healing of the bone, so therefore I would say that's encouraging. I know that given shots, a lot of times you can alleviate the pain and that he could finish the season at a certain point, but I think it has to be rectified at the end of the year and or these specialists have to figure out what's causing this and what are the solutions to this. And I also think the Astros covered their ass by saying the fact that the specialist yesterday concluded with everything of their others because they listen.
There's a lot of framing going on here.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of framing in this press release. They hit you right in the face with the Astros received encouraging news. They punctuated at the end how this backs up what the Astros medical staff had to say about it. So there is some framing going on here.
No doubt.
And I like to think that I can read through some BS at times. Like if you're going to present the facts, leave it about the facts. Mm-hmm. Don't opine. Don't throw in your opinion.
It's a press
on
release,
it.
Not a tweet,
yeah.
Right? You can't lead the witnesses or in this case the audience to say it's positive because we said so.
It'd be like if they tweeted out Hunter Brown's line score and be like, "Look at this dominant effort."
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay. So are you giving me a fact? Are you giving me news or are you giving me your commentary? Like, in a weird way, it's become what, like, mainstream media has become, where, like, they no longer just present the facts. It's always, like, from some angle.
Right.
And they do it from different both sides of the aisle. I'm not picking on one side of the aisle or the other. Both sides of the aisle give you this mainstream media, present the news how they want it to be perceived. That's kind of how I read this press release. They've received some encouraging news, and the Astros medical staff has never done no wrong. Okay. Come on now. And I'm with you on your take of it, too. Like, for as far as 2025 is concerned, I do think that it is positive news. Because I read this, and I shouldn't fool myself again. But when I read this, I'm like, okay, we're going to see him again in 2025. Like, I think we see him again in 2025 based on this release. Maybe that's foolish of me, though. Maybe that's me being naive. But I do believe that. Now, whenever I really, like, put on the journalist hat, because we know I'm a huge journalist all the time, why is he getting so many injections? Like, I know you said it's to reduce the inflammation, but how is his inflammation so bad that he has to get so many injections? And how is the inflammation flaring up without a root cause? Like, I don't know what the root cause is here. I don't know what the prognosis is here. Why is he getting inflamed hands so often and so badly that he has had to receive at least a few injections since the moment he's been on the injured list on May? Like, this is 2 months.
Well, and
multiple injections in 2 months.
The question on the injections is it for pain relief, anti-swelling, both? Like, what are the injections consisting of? Because of the fact that you can pretty clearly identify when the swelling and the pain came back, and that is when he was facing live pitching and he was taking that reverb and everything that comes with gripping a baseball bat and hitting a 90-plus mile-an-hour pitch. And I think that with that in mind, you do have to ask yourself the question, like, if it isn't a broken bone, because at least clearly, at least when the imaging is right and how many images they do and when it's able to be seen, if it's a broken bone, it's a broken bone. So it's going to heal. You know what it is. You know how it's going to, you know, what the process entails.
Yeah.
And you're good. When you start dealing with muscles and tendons and continued soreness, that's where the mystery comes in even more, when you don't need any more from the Astros medical team, because you don't know what causes it, and worse, you don't know what cures it.
That's the thing. Is like I want to, and look, this is long term, like you said. Like, I want to know what is causing this, and it has. This isn't only 2025. Like, we have to stop allowing ourselves to believe that this is a 2 month issue. This isn't a 2 month issue. It's a 3 year issue. He missed weeks a few years ago with a hand injury. Dusty thought it was two. Jordan said it was one. That forced him to miss several weeks, and then he came back and was really, really good. So this seems chronic at this point. And, like, we hear of ejections in sports really on two different fronts. One is, like, let's juice them up, that way they can play today, right? That's what's the medical term that they use, the shot that they give you. They use it a lot in football, where they give you the shot, that way you don't feel the pain, that way you can go out and play, which has a lot of, like, negative effects long term.
Talking about the
whatever.
Actual, like,
the, yeah, forget
what it
the
is.
Yeah, forget what it's called.
Was it Toradol or
Toradol? Yeah, that's it. So, like, those, like, they, like, that's the one shot you think of. Toradol, okay, we're gonna shoot you up, numb whatever you're feeling, and then you can go play. That's obviously not here. Like, they're not giving them Toradol. The other injections you hear about are, like, steroid injections to reduce the inflammation, and we do hear about those a lot. And, like, whenever I start to wonder, like, when do we see steroid injections? Usually it is to reduce the inflammation, but there's always a root cause for the inflammation. We don't have that answer right now. That's what's so mysterious about me. That's why Jordan is an enigma.
Well, the other thing that's curious to me, Jeremy, with the steroid, now, is that not against the
I think there's, like, variance.
Is there a way where you can dictate what kind of steroid it was and directly correlate it with that's the exact steroid they gave him for whatever the injury is?
I would assume so.
I think you have to, right? Because the steroid does seem to cure a lot of what ails a lot of players in a lot of sports. But we do know with the banned substances list that steroids are clearly on it. So it would behoove you to at least ask the question of how do you decipher. But, yeah, I mean, overall, when you look at it and you start thinking about the fact that it is a big-picture concern, and it goes back to me, to even a guy like Tari Eason, or how many athletes we've seen, where you have a mysterious injury. No one can really identify the root cause. No one really knows exactly what it is, or they're not telling you. And then they go through a season, and you say, okay, they're doing something medically to take care of it. But then the following season, he's not playing back-to-backs. He misses, you know, 8 to 10 games to days at a time. And then suddenly he's back, and you're like, is this going to be a thing for the rest of his career? Because that's where I'm going. Like, it's one thing to say, okay, this is just a really tough break for one season. But as you said, there's a history before. There's this going for the rest of this season at least. What's to prevent it from happening from the end of this season through the end of his career? That's the million-dollar question and more.
Yeah, that's the That's where my concern's at. Like, short term, okay, I think he might be able to suck it up, buttercup, and go out and give you some at-bats late in the year. My bigger concern is this has been a chronic thing, and we still don't have any answers. Like, it's still as murky as ever.
Yep.
It's still as murky as it was yesterday. Do I feel a little bit better and have, like, a higher degree of confidence that Jordan Alvarez plays baseball this year? Yesterday, I didn't think he was going to play baseball again this year. So, yes, I have a higher degree of confidence today than 24 hours ago that Jordan Alvarez steps into the batter's box at the dike and tries to help the Astros from an offensive point of view. Long term, do I feel any better about Jordan's hands? I think I feel worse.
Yeah, until I have an explanation, until I have whatever expert medical personnel that you're relying on to give us information and, like, cut and dried answers, and that information involves a solution mm-hmm. to the problem, I don't feel any better. Like you said, I feel better that he is going to contribute to this baseball team at some point between now and the end of the playoffs. Other than that, there's nothing that has been said to me or in a release or otherwise that we've heard that tells me I should feel encouraged that this is behind us once the season's over.
Like, I almost wish it was the handmade.
Yeah, because you said you could just remove it.
Now you have a resolution. Is he out longer than this current situation? Maybe a few weeks, but he's still back at this point of the season. But there's a resolution. It eliminates, hopefully, the murkiness. This did nothing to eliminate any murkiness of the situation.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Look, maybe he comes back and he does really well and he helps the Astros win a World Series. And as soon as the parade is over, I still have a mystery on the ailments of Jordan Alvarez's hands. Like, this isn't going away. And it's problematic. 713-780-3776. Was this good news? Astros told you in the very first sentence how great of news this was. Houston Astros again. Yordan and the Alver and the Astros received some encouraging news from a hand specialist on Wednesday. Is this encouraging news? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees at Landry Seafood House in Galveston on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Power On E-Bikes, $4,000 value pair of brand new e-bikes. All you have to do is register to win right over there. Register to win. Your pair of e-bikes can be yours. I just realized that everybody I'm talking to right now can't see where I just pointed. But the promo table, when we're out and about, you can sign up and register to win our grand prize of the summer. Pair of new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle. $4,000 value. Anybody ever told you that? We're out here at Landry Seafood House in Galveston having a good time. Weather, not it's not hot because the clouds are protecting us a little bit, but we're inside. We're not griping. 713-780-ESPN HRP listener line. Israel says, yes, sir. Good news on Alvarez. Clap emoji, clap emoji, clap emoji. Texter, do not trust any Astro injury reports until you see the player in question on the field playing. Yeah, I think that's fair.
I mean, look, Jeremy Pena is the latest where no matter what Dana Brown tells me, I'm not buying into it. You're selling something that I am definitely not buying because of everything that I have buyer's remorse on from what you've told me in the past. Great, he's traveling. Great, you think by this weekend in L.A. he might return to some kind of baseball activity. But one, don't push it because you're really close to the All-Star break right now where you can get some extra rest. And two, I think you're fully you-know-what, so therefore you shouldn't even tell me anything.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. He's still out for the year. Don't take the bait, Bees. Okay. I mean, I guess we'll see. We'll see. The way you read that Yordan press release, I have to ask, is Yordan Alvarez soft?
That's your favorite, one of your favorites.
I mean, the broken bone throws things into, like, perspective here. Like, he had a legitimate broken bone. Like, I can't call a guy soft who has a broken bone. Yeah. Like, do I think there were things in the past where Yordan had some soft tendencies? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I think that this hand issue and having the broken bone is soft? No, I can't say that this case it is.
I think for me it comes down to your definition of soft if it involves just the makeup of your anatomy not being able to withstand the grind of a professional sport. I think that it's one thing to say, hey, because of fireworks smoke, I was overcome with sick illness and I had to sit out. I mean, that's soft. But if you tell me that your body, you know, they used to say Lamar Lathan all the time with the Oilers, he was just so physically strong and had developed so much muscle that his skeleton wasn't equipped to handle how much muscle and everything he had, and therefore his body would break down. I don't think that's soft. I think there's a difference. I think if it proves that Yordan's body can't handle the punishment of Major League Baseball,
yeah,
it's hard for me to call that part of it soft.
Yeah, when I think soft, I think, oh, you got like a little bruise and you're not playing through it.
Right.
Like he had a broken bone in his hand, and he tried to play through it. You know what I mean? Like this instance of Yordan, I cannot say is soft. Like he had a broken bone in his hand that he was trying to play through. And maybe if it wasn't broken at that time, he had something going on in his hand that eventually led to a stress reaction that broke his fourth metacarpal. So like I think it's fair at times to call players soft whenever they're showing soft tendencies.
Yep.
And has Yordan at times shown soft tendencies? I think it would be fair to say that. I can't say any of this saga in 2025 is that.
Exactly. Bad. I think when you look at some of the history of the word discomfort and what has led to it from Astros' perspective, if you slept on a bad pillow and you can't play baseball, to me that's soft. If you inhaled fireworks smoke in the middle of in the ballpark and now suddenly you can't play baseball, to me that's soft. Pepto-Bismol can handle your upset stomach and you can still get out there and swing a baseball bat and chase a fly ball every now and then if you're in the field. I just think that there is a pretty clear line in most cases to differentiate between soft and if your body just breaks, it breaks down.
And sadly, it seems like it's that.
It does. I mean, that's the biggest concern for me is, look, as much as this is bothersome to so many people because of how long it's taken and because he's one of your best players on any roster any year he's on the team so far, the bottom line is they've done all that they've done this year to build this 7-game lead in the division without him. Because before he got hurt, he wasn't good. He's been out ever since. And whatever lineup they throw out there is effective, and they're winning, and they've got a lead, and they're in first place. So if you tell me that this is going to affect the next several weeks, okay, so be it. Yeah. But you need this guy at this contract for as long as he's under contract with this team for the foreseeable future. I need it rectified between now and the start of next season.
If there's a date that you like needed him back, and like, I know you can't do this. It's a hypothetical. Like, we can't be like, okay, Jordan, you're going to be back on this date. In fact, I think that's counterproductive to do that. But as we're talking as outsiders, like, this is a date that you really would like to see Jordan Alvarez back right by. What is that for you?
I would prefer it to be around, like, September 15th.
Okay.
Just September 15th, because you get a little regular season, end of the season, AB's in. You kind of get back into the swing of things, so to speak. And then you're ready for the playoffs. Because I think that other than that, they have the rest of the team has picked you up to this point to where I have expectations. They're going to continue to do this at least to the point of being in first place. So September 15th is fine for me if I know when he comes back, he's going to be good to go for the rest of the run this season.
Yeah, I was going to say early September, so we're like in the same two-week window there. Josh from Seabrook, kind of your point. I don't think Jordan is soft, but I think he's brittle. Okay, because there is a difference. There is a difference between those two. I will definitely agree to that.
You know, but it goes back to when you and I were talking about McCullers. It's one thing to say, look, his body breaks down and he's put a lot of torque on his pitching arm. But at the same time, the misdiagnosis and the decisions, whether it's, oh, I can't rehab the way I want to because we're in the middle of a lockout, or, oh, I don't think I need surgery yet, and suddenly you add on an extra 6 months of trying to tinker with other things before eventually down the road even further you need surgery. Those things to me are where I question your toughness.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. This is a new low that the Astros need to pump up their medical staff. 99% chance this is BS, too. I don't believe a word of it. Look, they haven't earned your belief. Like, that's a fair take.
Yep.
This is a bad sign because injections are generally given to chronic injuries. Pain. That's my thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're given multiple shots over a two-month span. We don't know if it happened prior to that either. Then, like, what's the issue? Again, I need to know the prognosis. We don't know the prognosis. It's as murky. And, look, I get that I'm not privy to that information. And that's fine. But I'm saying, like, even if I'm Dana Brown, I'm in the organization. Like, it would be helpful if you knew the prognosis of the injury and the injections and all the inflammation.
I think the other thing that you have to take into consideration, too, is the fact that at a certain point your body starts to adjust and get used to the injections, and then it doesn't work as good. And then you have to find that. And again, it comes down to you have to find the end game solution, not just the temporary fix, because at a certain point, your body starts getting immune to the injections, and then what do you do?
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Jordan is soft, says a texter. I think all of this sounds fishy. Why should we believe there was actually a bone break, or is there more behind the scenes? I mean, there's no way of knowing that. I mean, I would like to believe if they say that there's a broken bone, that there's a broken bone. And I think there'd be in a lot of trouble in terms of the CBA and the MLB Players Association. If they said a player had a broken bone and they didn't have a broken bone, like, that would get them in serious trouble with the league.
Yeah, and you know what, Jeremy? I was thinking about this yesterday when we were having our conversation about all of this and as it relates to the medical staff of the Astros. At a certain point, why hasn't the Players Association already gotten involved? And isn't there enough now meat on the bone to where if they haven't before, this last one is the one where no matter how they try and CYA it now, the fact is if I'm the Players Association, I think it's a legitimate concern that I brought up yesterday. I think players now that are hurt are going to look side-eyed at whatever kind of diagnosis they get and whatever kind of recovery window they're given and whatever kind of rehab program they're on. Because they are right to feel that way. If you look at the track record of the last 3 to 4 years of this team and you aren't a little bit suspicious of the fishiness of how everything's happened, the fact that all the recovery dates have not, for the most part, been met, the fact that in a lot of cases, surgery and other surgeries and follow-up surgeries and things are all needed, the Players Association should put their foot down at a certain point and go, enough's enough, guys. I'm getting involved now. We're getting involved now because we got players that don't trust and don't want your medical personnel dealing with their injuries.
713-780-ESPN. Key from L.A. Blankers, are you saying he's going to get addicted to pain pills? No, he's just saying he's become numb to the injections. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Rackham Pete in the Hive of the Bees. What's up, Rackham Pete?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
This Yordan thing's just getting out of control. I mean, it's gotten to a point where these guys just need to quit issuing press releases. Just focus on who you have in-house, who's playing right now, and they're wildly exceeding a lot of fans' expectations. Just go with a mindset that, look, guy may not come back. We're going to play with a hand that's dealt. Let's focus on the next 3 months, and let's get to October and get into some meaningful games. You know, this thing is just reading like a soap opera. I mean, if you want to call it that, this is like, will his hand heal? Has the fracture healed up? Will the inflammation go down? Will Luke and Laura reconcile? Tune in to General Hospital. It's just getting at
me. Disturb, you know the characters.
is that Days of Our Lives, Pete?
Appreciate it, Rackham. Appreciate it. I think he describes it perfectly. I have no pushback. I think he said it masterfully.
The bowling Rackham brace Pete. Is back, at least.
There is a school of thought that could be shopped.
The only thing that I would say is, based on our previous conversations leading up to that picture, that's the brace that I saw when he was in the dugout.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like it, but it could have been a photoshopped image.
Yep.
It could have been. That dude told me the wrong city.
Yeah, although, and then in his bio.
And he deleted that
it
post.
It says he's a pilot. Like, and are like you a, flying Crane's plane or?
Well, I mean, who are you? Okay. Like,
yeah, I just.
I mean, he can mean anything.
Then he's saying his dad is, he told his dad?
His dad was the one that was next to Yordan.
Yeah. And it looked like a private plane to me.
No, that looked like a commercial plane to me.
Really? I thought it was, it looked like a PJ to me.
Okay. I looked commercial to me, but I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. I have no clue.
Was it commercial or was it private?
Yeah.
Look at the picture and let us know.
I didn't even think that, but it did look commercial to me.
It looked private to me.
But again, it could have been photoshopped. Like, we have no idea. Right, right. And, like, it is now deleted. It is now a deleted post. Texter, any hope for Chaz to come back and hit 250, 240 years, that ship sailed. Like, that's probably the silver lining today. Is that Brian McTaggart, the Astros, said that Chaz McCormick is going to be – I think he's going to be in the Sugar Land lineup tonight.
Yep, tonight.
So, like, that's good news. Like, Chaz McCormick could be your left fielder whenever you come back home. And, like, the Astros could use Chaz McCormick right now. You're running Cooper Hummel out there in left field every day. Chaz McCormick.
Jermell.
Like, McCormick helps this team right now. And it also helps Chaz McCormick to prove his worth. Like, this is a perfect opportunity for Chaz McCormick to seize to – like, prove his worth not only to the Astros, but the rest of baseball. And, like, what does Chaz look like when he comes back? Chaz was not having a bad year whenever he got hurt.
He just didn't have opportunities.
Yeah, no opportunities. The power wasn't there. Like, he hadn't homered this year. But he was getting on base at a 347 clip. Mm-hmm. Like, 347 plays. If he comes back and is producing at a 347 on-base clip, okay, that is helpful to where the Astros currently are with all of these injuries.
Well, and you look at it, we didn't know which Chaz was going to show up at the start of the year. And then he just quite frankly couldn't crack the lineup because everybody else that they were putting out there on a nightly basis and a lot of guys were starting to perform. Now you say, you're just waiting for your opportunity? Well, here it is. And the door is wide open. And if you come back and perform at all, you are going to have a spot on this team and probably a pretty integral role for the next couple of weeks. Because all you've got to do is be better than Trammell and Cooper Hummel and some of these guys that we look at the roster going, why are they here in the first place? Well, because there was no other options. If Chaz is an option and he's a viable one, he will play and he will get to prove himself.
Yeah, it'd be nice for him to prove that he is a viable option. So Jose Altuve had a running gaffe yesterday. Some school of thought that he might have done it on purpose. I don't believe that he ran to it on purpose. People are trying to frame me saying that I believe that he ran into the ball on purpose. No, I didn't. Just wondering. There was some chitter chat on the internet that some people thought he did run into it on purpose. And there have been times in the past where maybe he did. But we know that Altuve is not a good base runner. There's a guy on the internet arguing me right now that Jose Altuve is a good base runner.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, I'm dead serious. As I'm having this conversation, there is a guy by the name of Jason that is arguing me on Twitter, saying that Jose Altuve is a good base runner. I'll read you that conversation, but also when we come back, Altuve and base running go together like blank and blank. What goes together like Altuve and base running? Also, what all-time greats have had an Achilles heel like Jose Altuve does with base running? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.